Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Oh, hey everybody. It's Sunday, October 17th. My name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug. There's still smoke coming out of my mouth. After all of that talking, I still haven't exhaled all of that hit yet. Oh my God, that is crazy. This is Doug Loves Movies, and you're listening to another podcast crossover event, because I am recording this ep from the studio where comedy and everything else is taped, a.k.a. Jimmy Dore and Stephanie Zamorano's house.
That's correct.
Living room.
That's correct.
We're also joined by, you may hear on occasion, the engineer for comedy and everything else, whose name is Paul. How do you say your last name again?
Bartunek.
Okay, I'm never going to try to say that.
Okay.
I'm just going to stick with Paul. Bartunek. I can do it. I can do it. I can totally do it.
He has a nickname also, Beardo, he's known on the show, but he told us today he doesn't want us to call him that.
Yeah, I believe you offered not to.
This okay. is the perfect time to introduce it on another podcast, is to let everybody know that you're not calling him that anymore.
Right.
We're not going to call him Beardo. Mm-hmm.
It's over. It's over, Beardo.
Doug, you have some announcements you have to get out?
You're just Paul. I was just going to say, first of all, that the show everyone's listening to right now is free. This is the free one of the week that always comes out. And I was hoping that Jimmy wouldn't just walk away while I was doing this part of the show, but he's going to get some more of that delicious pizza that Stephanie cooked up for us.
Yep.
Got a big carbon footprint, that pizza.
Let me paint a picture for everybody. Jimmy just went to get some pizza on a paper plate that's Halloween themed. And
yes.
We have wine, we have kettle corn, we've got the aforementioned microwave, not microwaved, but heated up pizza.
Yes, yes, yeah. All the way from Italy.
It comes from Rome.
And we're smoking a little, having some wine. Paul is not partaking of anything. He's just sitting there doing his job. And then there's a dog on Stephanie's lap.
Bubba.
His name Bubba, who's just an adorable, what do you call it? What kind of dog is
Chinese
it?
Chinese crested.
No, ask again.
What kind of dog is it?
Show dog.
More specific, please.
Chinese crested.
Very good.
He's
now,
the guy.
Now walk in a circle.
The most Chinese crested, if you're going to, people will think that most of them are hairless, but he is a, what they call powder puff. He has hair.
He's a hairy one.
Which what makes him adorable.
Yeah, exactly. If he didn't have hair, he'd be horrified.
Right. Who wants a hairless dog?
And some people might say that he has white or, light hair. He's Palomino.
He's Palomino.
Actually.
Okay. I had a great time in Portland, Oregon, as I always do, last weekend. The Helium Comedy Club there is a new club, and I had a blast, so I'm definitely going to do a podcast taping there sometime in the future. No promises as to how soon, but I'm thinking 2011 for sure. I will narrow it down to a year for you. Since I was just there, you know, I got away a little while before I come back. I still got two more. It's not a two more. I've got two more Pot the Vote shows in Sacramento and San Francisco coming up on October 30th in San Francisco, 31st in SAC. And Graham Elwood and other special guests are going to be there. Do you want to know who the special guests are going to be?
I can't wait.
I also call them dudes who happen to be in the area.
Now, Doug, what happens
in
these
Sacramento and San Francisco?
Now, what happens on these Pot the Vote shows exactly? Now, do you come out?
It's just a regular show, but I say if it's happening in a state like in California where there's a ballot initiative coming up on November 2nd, it's just sort of to help put the word out.
Awareness.
Like my big pitch is that if you're between the ages of 18 and 21 in California, you know, you can vote, but the law is going to be that you got to be 21 to smoke if it passes. So that's kind of a conundrum for some of those young people. They might think they're going to blow off voting and, you know, just kind of put their foot down and say that's not fair. Well, how about planning for your future, young man? That's my point.
You know, even stoners
might
can
not
plan.
Get on the ballot again. Although now, and we'll talk about this. This is going to be a crossover event, you guys. Right after this taping, we're going to tape an episode of Comedy and Everything Else, and then we'll really get into this this pot talk. If you want to hear more about that, but it's the whole situation in California is pretty interesting right now. Like stoners are arguing with each other now, so that's great. That's a really focused argument. two stoners that can't agree on legalization. But maybe they aren't stoners. You might have some conspiracy theories, as you always do, Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
that you would like to share about who it is exactly that's stirring things up. I watched Freddie Got Fingered on the plane home from Portland today because I had promised to watch it when I was talking to Nathan Rabin, the author of My Year of Flops. He said it was a secret success, and I said, well, I'll watch it again and give you my new assessment, and my new assessment is no, it isn't. It's not a secret success. Well, maybe it's still a secret that it's a success, but it still didn't work for me. I love when he's on the piano and the sausages are hanging on strings and he's going, Daddy want a sausage, Daddy want a sausage. That part makes me laugh. Awesome part.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, we didn't see it. But what would make a secret success that nobody knows it's that good ever?
No, that it was just like the author of this book, it's an AV Club book, you know, The Onion. So I read it. It's a good book. And, but he goes through and just watches movies that were flops, and mm-hmm. then he assesses if it was a fiasco, a secret success, or there was a third one that I can't remember. But, you know, he gives them these ratings, and that one was secret success. And it's because he's fond of the movie. Like, he thinks it's a funny movie. And I, you know, so I told him I'd give it another try because I didn't remember it being particularly funny. And it's a weird movie. It's totally watchable. It's like, because from scene to scene, you're like, really? Okay, so...
is that what you're like, really?
Yeah, you just sit there the whole time going, really? This was a movie that Paramount made and that people paid to see.
Who was in it?
Where a guy jumps out of his car and grabs a giant horse cock and starts jerking it off.
What?
And yelling, I'm a farmer, I'm a farmer. Like, as I was watching it, I thought, if you describe any scene from this movie, people will laugh. But watching the movie, it's not funny. It's not enjoyable to watch. But if you hear about it, it sounds hilarious.
That reminds me of my biggest laughs in, for me when Kingpin was when he said, I was milking your cow this morning. Took me a while to get her going, but once I did, she didn't stop. And he's got like a milk mustache. And they
yes,
go,
of course.
We don't have a cow. We have a bull. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good, because like why...
The milk mustache, too.
Why would it... even if no matter what he was milking or thought he was milking, why would it hit him in the face? Why wouldn't it just go into a bucket? What kind of weirdo. Oh, that movie's so gross. I don't. That's the thing about like.
I liked Kingpin.
I saw the new Jackass movie, and I love when they. I love the stunt stuff, but the gross stuff. It just makes me
kind of gross.
It makes me unhappy. Yeah, I just get grossed out by it. I'm just like. I think it kind of makes me laugh that they're willing to go so far, but.
Just thinking about it, there's stuff about you, and then you can never get it out of your head. You know, like when they fart into a gas mask, you're like, what? What? What are you doing?
That's going into emotional scar territory.
Yeah, then they just throw up immediately. And it's just like, of course.
When we saw the first Jackass, I told Jimmy, I think they're just sadist masochistic. And he goes, you think? Do you really think so?
Did you figure that out, Dr. Zamorano?
Ooh, hey, Columbo. People still say Columbo. Who's the new Columbo?
I really thought I had.
I don't know. What do? You say, hey, Castle. Or
yeah, like, I know. There's no.
Who's the new gumshoe that you would go to if you wanted to make that kind of a.
Right? Do people.
Good one, Kojak. There used to be so many good. Yeah. There used to be so many great names you could pull. Yeah. If there's two guys standing there, you go Starsky and Hutch. Yeah. If there's three ladies, you call them angels, you know. It was easy.
Hey, Banachek.
Oh. Hey, streets of San Francisco.
Did we always say Quincy?
Oh, no.
Well, that's what you say whenever it's, even if, it doesn't even have to be a coroner. It could be any kind of doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, right. If he's got a white
whatever,
coat
Quincy.
On.
Way to go, Quincy. Yeah.
Oh, man. So I've got to make an announcement about next week's Doug Loves Movies podcast taping. It's going to be at 10:30 after... the Comedy Death Ray Halloween show, which is always a lot of fun. So if you have tickets to the Comedy Death Ray Halloween, you can stay and watch Doug Loves Movies at 10:30. Or if you just want to show up and try to get in for free to Doug Loves Movies, there'll probably be some seats because some people might have jobs or whatnot. So you can slide on in there. And that's October 26th.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds
crazy, right?
Yeah.
Here's another announcement that's going to blow your minds. At CineFamily, I'm going to be screening the movie Link on Wednesday, October 27th. And that movie is a terrible, terrible monkey horror movie. Has there ever been a great monkey horror movie? I don't think so. I think once you have a monkey involved, it might be kind of scary, but it's not going to be a great horror movie. So Link is going to be the movie this time. I do these movie interruptions where I play a whole movie and we sit in the couch in the front row and just say whatever we feel like saying about it. And I try to get people that are in movies to participate. And so in this particular case, Elizabeth Shue, who's the star of Link, she might actually be there talking wise about her own movie as it unspools. So did you guys see Waiting for Superman?
No, we haven't seen it yet.
Did you see it?
We're going to go. Did you see
yes,
it?
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
Did? Yeah. Doug, you did? Doug, he saw...
What? Why are you so upset?
We went and saw a different movie. We were going to go see it, and we were like, well, why don't we see a movie
that Maybe it's
that
too
Doug
political, and maybe we thought, well, we don't want to
yeah,
do this thing to like, oh, education, oh, they're fucking
well,
everything.
I don't want to bore the listeners with this story a million times, but I'm friends with Elizabeth Shue now, kind of. She was on the podcast because Adam Scott dragged her on, and because they did Piranha 3D together. Anyway, she invited me to the premiere of.
She invited me to leave Las Vegas. Is what she invited me to.
That's another one of her films. Yes,
certainly is.
So I get it.
Certainly is.
But she's going to be now. I've coerced her to maybe come to Link, and which is would it be amazing to me if she shows up because. You know, her husband made this incredible movie that I bet you he's probably spending day and night every day talking about it to some media outlet somewhere in the world. You know, like he's become the guy about how messed up education is.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't seen the movie. God damn it. I can't believe that I haven't seen it.
So what'd you see?
Fucking.
What did you see that you thought
we saw Zach's new film.
Zach's movie.
Oh, see, that's great. So you can talk about that. I haven't seen it. So, you know, we'll trade stories. It'll be fun.
I think the... Do you want to talk... Can you tell us a little bit about Waiting for Superman? Because I didn't know
that was her husband.
What do you want to know besides 40% of our children right now in high school don't graduate?
Mm-hmm. Right.
40%.
I'm so curious where they are in
the society. Just that alone, I was just like... I was bawling in my seat and just like... What can I do to make children be able to learn? It's like such a heartbreaking movie.
Well, you know what I do is what they never ask the right questions, though, Doug. And those people who, these reformers like Michelle Rhee and Arnie Duncan.
She seems a little intense, that Michelle
girl. You know how many years of education? Teaching experience the both of them have? 3 years combined, and it's in second grade. So I don't really take their opinions that seriously, because when they talk about reforming education, what they're really talking about is breaking the teacher union and privatizing education. And that's not going to work. But anyway, that's what they're talking about.
Right, right. But those charter schools
are not the answer to our problem.
But that one dude that runs those schools, he seems like a smart guy, and he has some great ideas.
Great charter schools.
But well, the point with a charter school would be that you're supposed to model. So you have a great charter school, and whatever they're doing that's so great. So whoever that man is who has created a well-working machine as a charter school, well, then they're supposed to be the model, the prototype. And then all the other people that are looking to develop charter schools, they use those models. That should be the model. Well, it's not just one charter school the answer.
The idea of a charter school is that they experiment, you see what works, and then you copy it and apply it to the rest of the public school system. You don't have a system of charter schools where everyone gets to do their own thing. And when you say charter school, you think, oh, it's going to be great. Most charter schools suck. And they just close another one down. You know, that's just really the privatizing of education with no real way to... anyway, so we'll move on.
But you guys are so high. That's awesome.
But anyway, that's the truth.
Well, you know,
it's a left... You know, the whole... what's happening right now is the diminishing of the classroom teacher brand. They keep saying that the problem of education is teachers, and that's not the problem. The problem of, because, you know, and teacher unions, because the great schools, the best schools in the country also have teacher unions, and the worst schools in the country also have teacher unions. They also have horrible neighborhoods. They think that if you have a failing community, somehow the school's supposed to work for them. That's not how it works. You have to fix your community, and then you'll fix your school. But let's go.
But you know what I wanted to say also.
Haven't there been cases though where a school becomes great within a terrible community?
It can work, but you're just saying that
the more common sense approach would be the other way around.
What they do in other countries that beat us in education, nobody says like, well, why don't we study some of the other countries? Like, let's go to the Netherlands. You know what they do there?
Finland actually is the rated number one now in math and science. Why is that?
So what they did was they decided to have 20-to-1 teachers, 20 class sizes of 20 students, and then 3 teachers per class. And they all have master's degrees. Wow, nobody's proposing anything like that in America. All they're doing is we have to break their teen union, get charter schools, and then tie the teachers' pay to the students' performance. But only math and English teachers. No other teachers are tied to their performance. You know, a French teacher or an art teacher or a gym teacher. Nobody else's pay is tied to their performance.
Oh, don't get me started on those French teachers, Jimmy.
But anyway.
Son of a gun. But I want to weigh in, too, because, you know, you're probably one of the only shows that actually is having an educator on it to speak at the point. And I am an educator, believe it or not.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Paul was an educator.
No. A little embarrassing.
But I think the whole idea is if we follow that line of thinking that it's a bad school, .. that must mean that the teachers are bad and therefore the unions are bad, then let's just use that type of thinking. And every time I see a sitcom that's shitty, it must be those goddamn shitty writers
that are union
writers. Also, bad films, it must be those shitty union writers, again, who've written a bad film, plus those horrible union actors.
The shitty actor unions, they make shitty films.
So I guess they're right. When it comes to something bad, it must be because of the union.
Anyway,
nicely put. That was fun.
That was well done.
But you guys, you should definitely see this movie. Like, why are you wasting your time with Zach Galifianakis in a psych ward?
How crazy that you saw that movie. I've been dying to see that movie. I just interviewed a guy for my radio show who was in that many. Anyway, but
But it's the thing about, to me, about the movie is it's boosting the conversation, which needs to be,
yes,
like, you know, front burner.
Well, yes. Arne Duncan is not a proponent of strong progressive educational ideas, nor is Michelle Rhee. She's very punitive in nature. She's a chancellor with hardly any experience in the classroom. And Jimmy, ask me how many kids I teach every day.
How many kids do you teach every day?
Over 180 students
every day. Every day.
Every single day. So every 55 minutes, there's a break, and then I teach a new group of kids. And I love them. So when somebody says, you know, these teachers aren't doing their jobs, they're thinking they're only affecting the lives of 30 kids every day. I actually, as you know, when you teach middle school and high school, you're teaching a lot more kids. And I teach at a school that is always in the top 3% of the nation on our test scores. And test scores aren't that important. They're just some way that it's an easy way to gather data and be able to spend money on schools that are doing well. In Georgia, recently, their test scores came out. They found out that their teachers or administration erased all the kids' answers. And there's a high rate of erasure marks.
Erasure marks on the test.
I like to say erasure.
Their pay is tied to how well the kids do. So they just take their tests, they erase the wrong answers, and put them in because their pay is tied
to
it.
Do we really not think cheating is going to accelerate?
I would cheat. That's why I'm a comedian, because I'm basically a cheat at heart.
Well, that's true. We don't have to really work.
That's right.
We sort of pulled that off. We're like, yes, we're basically con men.
Yes.
And we're like traveling salesmen
without a car.
Product. Yeah, we're just selling ourselves, like, pay money to listen to me talk. Here we go.
My ideas will trick you into laughing.
You had a great time, because I told you you did. Good night.
That's what, yeah, and you've been entertained. How do you know? I said so.
All right. Well, let's see if I got any more announcements. But that was, I'd love to talk to you guys after you've seen that movie, because it's going to, you know, make you very angry.
Oh, yeah.
Considering your position. But I know you're human beings, and the stories that they cook up of the individual girls, you know, it's kind of like watching that Bryant Gumbel HBO sports thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, where they're just heartbreaking.
Sure.
Like they just, these moments of triumph and these moments of
nobody's saying,
being beaten down when you're mm-hmm. already suffering from mm-hmm. Yes, Jimmy?
Did anybody in that movie suggest that we cut the class sizes in half and add a teacher to every classroom?
No.
No. So when they say
that's a logical solution, by the way, decreasing class size.
Just me even saying that,
and you, increasing jobs.
Yes.
And by the way, there's not.
Let's make some calls. Let's make it happen.
There's not a line of people standing out of my school every day hoping to get a job as a teacher. There's no line happening to apply as a teacher. Yeah,
the whole idea of, if we fire these bad teachers, there's some room full of great teachers out there waiting to break into the profession.
You see the movie, though. They got footage of these fucking teachers that are like, you know, who knows what percentage of all teachers they represent. However minuscule, it's just horrifying. Like, you know.
Well, let me be perfectly clear that teachers didn't hire teachers. Teachers don't evaluate teachers. Who are the fucking administrators?
Who hired this person?
So they interview them, they hire them, then they go ahead and evaluate them and continue to employ them. So those people weren't once a time fabulous. Those people weren't very good in the first place, but nobody was around to take their place.
Right.
Oh, I feel so much better. Thank you, Doug.
I'm glad you got it off your chest. That's really...
You know, this is... You don't
it's
hear...
It's a hilarious topic.
I know.
We're having a lot of fun with it.
Here comes Ben Zalavansky.
Oh, I was wondering...
What?
Come on in, Ben.
Do you have people coming by while we're doing this?
He's my... he's on my... I'm going to be on our show next.
Oh, really?
With you.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. We're doing Doug's show right now.
Okay. Hey. How's it going?
Doug, good to see you. Ben. Oh, my God.
Just hang out. You could have some. There's some pizza over there.
Oh, thank you.
There's some kettle corn in the middle of the table. Possibly.
You know Bubba
there's
already.
There's still some wine, right? There's a little bit left.
Doug's not even finished through his announcements. We're already talking about Waiting for Superman.
I'm practically there.
I see it.
Doug saw it.
So, yeah, I saw it. So we can catch him up on stuff later. The listeners know everything up to this point. There's only one person involved in this podcast who doesn't know what happened up to this point, and it's
right.
It's your friend Ben. I'm going to be at the St. Louis Funny Bone November 8th and 9th. And that's that. what were you doing to his microphone, trying to keep him from speaking?
She's afraid I'm going to eat
Kettle corn
into the microphone.
Oh, I like, but I think that'd be a fun sound for Doug Loves Movies. It'll sound like we're enjoying a movie and eating some popcorn. But man, I go crazy with the chewing with their mouth open people at movies lately. I cannot handle it. People that eat popcorn without, you know, closing their mouths or even popcorn's noisy if you try to eat it quietly in a movie.
Yes.
So like the people that just chomp away are starting to drive me nuts. Like that, yeah, exactly. Like hearing that through
that
it, it's
you
just
hear
like
them?
you're like watching the scene, going, "There's nobody." Like if it was a movie about people sitting around eating popcorn, it would be perfect.
See, but I always try to sit in the back row. Like we saw the movie yesterday, that Zach Galifianakis, but we sat in the back row. I don't, you know,
and I was a seat away from an older woman, and she kept having a script banaca in my mouth because the woman smelled like mothballs.
So to have something good to smell.
If you had a nice thing in your binoc in your mouth,
it would overpower the mothball smell coming from the lady.
Well, sometimes I would squirt it right under my nose so I could only have a very binoc scent.
But, you know, going to the movies
that sounds
is a nightmare,
great, Doug. But that must have given the movie kind of like a,
authentic.
You know, it must have felt real.
Like a hospital.
A psych ward would smell like that,
yes.
too.
Yes. I couldn't smell the lady, but Steph said she could smell the lady.
All right.
But,
Zach Galifianakis was great in the film. Well,
he's
by the
not
way.
Done
of course,
with
he's
not.
Amazing. I'm sure.
The thing about that's the problem with going to movies. That's why Netflix everything now. We very rarely go to see the movie when it comes out.
Oh, because of the other people and stuff.
It's hard. Yeah, we'll go see Jackass because it doesn't matter if someone's. You know,
I like going by myself because then I'm like, if something's bugging me, it's easier to make the move. Like when you're with somebody.
Yes. You like, have to
and
confer.
And something's bugging you, it's got to bug both of you equally. And you got to, you know, figure out where you're going. And, you know, like if I'm there by myself, like if I'm in a theater and there's no good empty seats away from people that are doing annoying things, I'll change my mind and see a different movie or just go home. Like as soon as I feel like anything is going to be like distracting from watching the movie, because I go into every movie hoping it's going to be the most amazing experience of my life, and I'm more often than not disappointed. But at least I want the situation to be as optimal as possible.
Yeah, but you go see most of the movies during the day, right?
Well, yeah, I used to, yeah, but that's been harder to do. So now I have to suffer through the conditions of watching a movie on an airplane because that's where I see most of the current releases is 3 months after their current releases.
Why is it that on a plane is less people don't annoy me as much as in a movie theater? Is it because I don't care that much about the movie on a plane or what is it?
But I don't know, but it bugs me. If people are having a loud conversation while I'm trying to watch, you know, some horrible Jennifer Lopez rom-com,
well, loud talkers
it drives me nuts.
Loud talkers on planes are just ridiculous.
I don't get that at all.
The guys
especially strangers that hit it off. I want to hear both of your life stories, and I don't get to contribute in any way. I have to just listen to it. It's brutal. One time I was on a flight, and a son and a mother combo, teenage boy and his weird mother, read to each other. They took turns reading chapters from Chronicles of Narnia.
What?
Yeah, it made me insane because I had to listen to muffled, can't make out every word Chronicles of Narnia being read aloud, and no one else even sitting closer to them was even flashing them dirty looks or anything. It's like everybody thought it was fine. Yeah. That's what you do.
I had the two women talking too loud about their personal lives behind us, and the comic I was with turns around and goes, "Hey, you know we can hear everything you're saying, right?" And the woman's like, "Yeah, so?" He goes, "That doesn't bother you?" And then just turned around, and that was it. And, you know, they talked a little softer. But, people are not good with the public space. Do you ever have a kid banging on your tray who's sitting behind you?
Oh, that's insufferable. I always try to get that exit row seat where the seat is too far away for them to have a tray. They have the thing they pull out of the arm. Because that is my nut. Because I'm good at falling asleep, but staying asleep is only going to happen if no one's fucking with my chair. Like anything touches the chair, I wake up, you know?
Yeah. I'm a good sleeper on a plane, but I'll tell you what. So you get a kid banging on the tray, and you ask the lady, "But can you stop?" The kid stops. She goes, "What am I supposed to do?" "What are you supposed to do?" "I don't know. Give the kid a pill. He can't bang on my chair."
Put the...
Put the tray up
or push the kid back in the seat or yeah. Like there's solutions.
You didn't buy the seats ticket.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I hope you said that.
Overhead bin is another option.
Oh no.
Cough syrup isn't a bad idea sometimes.
Oh, you know, you're going to blow smoke on your kid's face. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah. I don't have any. I have a dog. And no, I don't get him high.
Does the dog know? You the dog gets high, though, for sure.
It may be in
just
the...
hanging out in here. Look at the dog right now. The dog looks so high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's just relaxed.
Sweet.
We got to have the dog in the picture with you guys. I always take a picture of the guests to send out on Twitter.
Yeah, we do too.
The day the episode.
We started doing that too, Doug.
Plops.
We're up with you.
Yeah, we're taking pictures too.
We're all about pictures.
It's, you know, that's the great thing about podcasting. I don't care if we're all doing the exact same show because it's a different show when we just sit down and talk like this, you know, like.
I think I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure.
You know what I mean? I'm saying we're not really in competition.
You and I?
Anybody in podcasting because...
Don't fucking fool yourself, Benson.
Because you're the only Jimmy Dore there is out there, man.
Oh, thank
you. If somebody did an impression of you, then you'd have a reason to get upset. But,
that's now, you and Mr. Rogers told me that.
But everyone else just doing podcasts, what are you going to do, you know?
Are you high and drunk?
I did have a few sips of wine that I brought over that I forgot.
Shit, I put a roofie in there. Is that what's happening?
I think, doesn't a roofie make you sleepy? It doesn't make you dumb necessarily, does it?
I think it makes you like you
makes
are
you like,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay, go ahead and put that in me.
Doug, I have a question. What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, because it's Halloween?
It's Barack October. My favorite scary movie is probably I'd say maybe Halloween or The Exorcist.
I would go with Halloween.
Yeah,
original Halloween.
Jaws in its way is a good scary movie. What do you think, Jimmy?
The Squid and the Whale is a real cautionary tale.
Well, that's a horrified movie. If you're about to go check a book out of the library, remember that scene?
I didn't see that movie.
Oh, there's a scene where the kid jerks off in the library and puts his goo all over some books.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. It's so funny that you pulled that out as your example and you haven't even seen it.
I just remember...
So, like, the references like and the tags are going to stop immediately.
It looked like it was about family problems. It looked like it could be, a bed, right?
Right, but it sounded like I just said Jaws, you're like the squid. I get it. That was fun. We have fun when we get together. That's for damn sure. I like coming over and hanging out with
Doug,
you guys and your dog.
So Doug,
and,
we're not
Paul.
No, is it, how many shows have you done not in front of a live audience?
It's a thing I do whenever there's like a paid episode coming up. I still want to have the weekly free one because tomorrow night we're recording a show at the Irvine Improv.
Oh, really? Okay.
And people have to pay $2 to get that off of iTunes or $1.99, which, you know, as you know, in our business is our way of tricking people into thinking that it's, it's only $1.
Yes.
$99.
Mm-hmm. So
that anyone still thinks that works is amazing. So it's $1.99 to
get. It works
get
for me.
That episode.
There's some shit for $2. I just won't pay. I just won't get it.
So this will come out. This will come out around the same time as that. And in the past, I went to the Sklar Brothers studio where they do their show. I went to where Never Not Funny does their show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's the idea. Is to just do it on your turf. I'm going to do one with David Feldman where I go to his theater in front of his audience and but do my show for them.
Gotcha.
With him as one of the guests, along with some of his other regulars. I mentioned you as a possibility because you go down there and do his show.
Sure.
It's pretty much every Thursday night, right? Let's get a plug in for that.
He does his show twice
a month right now.
Twice a month.
That's a fake gallery.
It's at the fake gallery. Do they have a website that keeps people updated?
Yes, it's very easy to know. It's fake.com. So it's spell
oh,
it out.
Jesus.
Yes, right.
Spell it out up until
so
the dot com.
I know it's pretty stupid.
Fake.com.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Spell it out and then .com.
Anyway.
I'm not spelling
fake.com.com.
Yes.
Oh God.
But you said dot,
nice
so you
work,
have you
teacher.
Still have to spell
so,
it.
So what is this? This will drop tomorrow?
No. This will be out next Friday.
Oh.
Yeah, so
can't plug my Thursday date.
We'll try to remember. We'll try to remember what happened here. You know, in case we have to go back in and edit some stuff out because of current events.
Yeah,
like if somebody we talked about dies in the next few days or something.
Yeah. Well, let's not even say that.
Come or like on. The time I went off about Michael Jackson one time on the podcast, and the podcast plopped around the same day that he died, and so we had to go in and
seemed like we had I to just go, let it go.
We had to go in and say Matt put his voice in right before I launched into the story. Matt's voice just goes recorded on and a date that predates it. Because I didn't want to cut the thing out entirely, because I still stood by my initial assessment that he was up to some weird stuff with kids. But the Michael Jackson Auditorium near the high school near where I live, you guys have been to my place, the high school near there has, it used to be the Michael Jackson Auditorium, and then all those allegations came out and stuff happened.
Really?
So for the longest time, they had Michael Jackson covered up with boards. But then I was driving by today and I noticed that it's back down again, like Michael Jackson.
He's
like,
back up?
Like Captain EO's back at Disneyland and he's got his auditorium back at that school. It's probably an elementary school. But whatever kind of school it is, he's got his name back on there. It's almost just like allegations never occurred and no one's even remotely worried about it anymore.
Because he died?
Because he's dead. He's dead. He left a legacy of great music and things. And now he's gone. And so what's the point of making a big deal out of potential? I think he was just a weirdo. I just think he was a weird dude that liked kids more than adults and thought that sleepovers weren't that weird.
I don't think he had sex with them. I think he might have had a boner while he was laying next to them. But
maybe.
There's something inside me. I don't think he could hurt a kid that way, even sexually. I don't think he thought he was hurting them. And he was a weirdo that he liked to hang out with kids.
Yeah,
was
and he weird. Just didn't know how to spin it. He didn't know how to say to Martin Bashir, you know, like,
you remember that it was him that
interviewed. Yeah. Because that sort of put that guy on the map for
Martin
me.
Martin Bashir?
Like, that was the first time I really noticed him. And then he started subbing on Nightline a lot more after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he just left Nightline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I follow his career. Anyway, I'm a big Martin Bashir fan. Not a lot of people.
Well, he really went for it with Michael on that thing. And he got, you know, what he wanted. He got weird answers like, you know, isn't sharing your bed the most loving thing you can do to another person? No, they're children that aren't your own. That's not, it's just not cool, man. You know, like, but the fact that he was so, no one would explain that to him. All of his brothers and his sister wouldn't just go, hey, you know what? Should chill with that. Not do that.
I'm with you. Doug, nothing to add.
The dog fell asleep, though.
Nothing to add.
We lost the dog on that. So, okay, well, it's kind of a funny story. You guys saw it? Your thoughts?
Oh, that movie is kind of a funny story. Yeah. I saw it?
Well, you did it so casually.
Yeah, right.
And I thought it was just a conversation.
I thought you had a story coming. Yeah. Like, Doug, you could be a good actor. You could really do some serious acting.
The way you did that?
You got
smooth.
Some acting chops.
Did you see that?
I, you know,
I think we studied with the same teacher at one point.
A lot of practice at selling this stuff. Plus, I really do want to know. You saw it. What'd you think?
It was great. It was a great movie.
I want to break it down first. I think it's great casting. Couldn't tell you anybody other than Zach Galifianakis. Of course, there's lots of...
Well, the main kid's name is Keir Gilchrist.
He's terrific.
He's on United States of Terror. He's very good on that.
Really? He's so solid.
He's gay on that show, but straight in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is he gay or straight?
I don't know.
That's doesn't matter, right? That's how good he is. He is a good actor. The movie was... It was... funny when it was supposed to. Zach is really, really good in it, you know. And
Jim Gaffigan is also in it.
Jim Gaffigan plays the dad, the kid's dad. And, you know, it's a coming-of-age tale where the kid goes into the hospital. Are we supposed to say what it is?
Well, no, it's, you know, just
so he goes into it, he ends up
on it. Most people listening to this are probably pretty aware of what it's about.
Yeah, and this is going to drop next Friday, so they should have seen it if they're going to see it. So,
well, no, I don't want to, you know, I don't want anybody giving anything away.
Spoiler alert.
People get mad at me when I give away stuff when a movie's already out on DVD. Like, it's funny how long people think they can, you know, just...
I might be one of those people, Doug.
I think it's fair if you always go spoiler alert, the end of the movie is this. But, you know,
I wonder what the twist was.
At what point can you talk about it?
What do you mean?
Like you're saying.
Well, that's the thing. The statute of limitations is gotten really fuzzy because some people are like, you know, always waiting for the Blu-ray or whatever, you know? So you have to, like, give them all this extra time. And I think it's just more like you should just be sensitive to the idea that, you know, because even to this day, if I was talking to somebody who hadn't seen Citizen Kane, I wouldn't talk about the ending. I would just think, well, maybe it's missed them somehow and they'll be blown away by it. Or as it's happening, they'll go, oh, I remember people talking about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, it's kind of fun. Like, have you ever watched a classic movie and when one of those classic lines comes out that you didn't even necessarily know was from that, you've never seen it? Like, it's pretty cool to discover those sometimes.
Well, I'd never watched old movies until, you know, I started dating Steph, and so she would like make me watch them, and then I was like, wow, these are good. Some of them are really good.
Well, yeah, like if you just see Mr. Smith Goes to Washington,
oh, yes.
You know, to, you know, with Jimmy Stewart. It's a great film, and it was the first film that I ever learned anything really about government, because he does a filibuster, and right. He's trying to, you know, stand up for the underdog, and, you know, he's being smeared everywhere.
It shows how the powerful own the media, and even back then.
And it's very, you could watch the movie now, and it has...
It certainly would inform, you know, people should watch that movie, A Face in the Crowd, and Network. And that's all they need to know about what's happening in America right now.
Are you holding one of Patton Oswalt's Halloween cards?
I wrote all the movies on this.
But isn't that what that is?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah, Patton and his wife send out a Halloween card every year, and no Christmas card. That's their annual holiday greeting is Halloween.
Oh,
and
it's always spooky.
He always gets some cool, the artwork on there is really cool.
It's really cute.
Yeah, I'm honored to be on his mailing list for that.
Yeah, okay, put me down for as honored too.
Okay, to, cool.
As long as we're, I'm not going to let you out.
Scribble notes all over that cherished keepsake. Patton listens to this podcast, man. You are busted.
It's on the back. It's on the back. It doesn't mar anything.
He does, you kidding me? I didn't.
He also doesn't care. You guys are getting all defensive about it.
You like, panicked.
Oh,
panicked.
No, this is going to be another. This is Jimmy ruining another perfectly good friendship.
You know, I
with his weird candor.
Ruining another.
Weird candor? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, because he says the wrong thing, even though he means the right thing.
That I do have a penchant for unwittingly saying what with the best of intentions, saying the wrong thing. Yes.
Well, the perfect example is that time that you asked a woman, this beautiful, beautiful woman who's married, and you just said, "Are you happy being married?" Because he was thinking about getting married.
I was thinking about getting married, and the club owner thought I was hitting on his wife, and I was just thinking about. I was actually thinking about getting married. Anyway, so go ahead.
How long do you think we've been going? Do you have it timed?
40 minutes.
Holy crap.
We have 5 minutes left.
Well, we'll probably go a couple minutes over because we got to play. We can't let you guys go without playing a round of the Leonard Maltin game.
Okay.
Do you guys know how to play it?
No, go ahead and tell me again how to play it. I'm all about rules and making sure I do this right.
Awesome. Because the listeners are all about hearing the rules every time.
You can pause.
We can pause, and you can explain it to
them. That's a great idea.
I don't want your listeners.
That's a great idea, and we'll be right back after I tell them the rules. And that's how you play the Leonard Maltin game.
Oh,
got it.
Got it. Okay, it's a little complicated.
It's 4 hours later.
Okay,
they finally think they might kind of get it.
We already played 3 rounds. Failed every time.
I did go in and out a couple of times as you were explaining. I'm not going to kid. So I got most of it, but not all of it. There might be a couple of turns.
It's complicated. I'll talk you through
it. Let's start.
The important
That's
part
a movie.
Is, the important part is to play quickly. Okay, so we'll start with Stephanie. How would you like to do... the categories you can choose from are actors directing, movies directed by actors. Glengarry Glen Ross. That's movies that have actors from Glengarry Glen Ross in them.
Oh,
or I was just at Helium in Portland, so movies that take place in Portland, Oregon.
I'm going to go with your first category, directors, actors directing, actors in movies directing.
Yeah, something like that. Actors directing. And, of course, there's actors in it. They don't direct anything that doesn't have actors in it. I know what the movies are. 1980, 1989, or 2000, straight up?
I'm going with 1989.
Okay, 1989.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was given 3 stars by Mr. Leonard Maltin. I disagree. I like it more than that, but I'm weird. Like I said, it's from 1989. The word spectacular is in Leonard's review. And he also says... The special edition includes 27 more minutes of footage.
Okay. So am I guessing okay. The director or the name of the film?
You guess the name of the film, but hang on. We got a bid first because you get to get help in guessing the name of the film by the actors' names.
Okay.
And there are... People are already thinking he must have not done a very good job of telling them the rules if she just asked that. Okay. 10 names. There's 10 names.
Okay.
How many names do you think you can get it in?
I think I can get it in... Okay, how many times can we go back and forth? Do I have to agree?
Well,
I'm going to go with 5.
Jimmy will either say name that movie or he will bid lower.
Okay. I'm going with 5.
Name that movie.
Okay. See, that's a good strategy in this game. You really don't have to know anything. That was the problem that one time I had Todd and Jimmy on together. They both didn't know anything.
I know. Didn't they keep saying the same movie?
And they both didn't understand the rules or where they were at the time. We were all very high.
Okay. All right.
Here's your 5 names. Mm-hmm. And actually, people listening are going to know it.
See, my problem right now is that I think I've already decided what it is, so I have to be open.
Okay, yes. It's spectacular. Mm-hmm. Leonard gives it 3 stars. It's from 1989. And it's what was the category?
It was directors and actors. Directing, acting.
That's totally not what this is. Hang on a second. How did that get in there? That is so funny.
I had a nickel.
A movie that totally doesn't belong in there got into that category.
Can I guess that one?
I screwed up. Yeah. Do you think you know what it is?
Yeah. Let's go. Give me the name. Give me the names.
All right. The names are Chris Elliott, Jimmy Ray Weeks, Kimberly Scott, J.C. Quinn, and John Bedford Lloyd.
Those are the top names in the movie?
No, it goes from most.
From the bottom.
And, you
so
know,
Chris
most
Elliott has a small part
in it.
In this spectacular
I think I know the movie
that's not directed by an actor.
Oh, I'm going to. Is it Groundhog Day?
No. But that's a good guess. But that's totally unfair that happened.
Because I was thinking that's the reason why that category got in there. Oh, because he is an actor, the guy who directed it.
Harold Ramis.
Yes.
Is an actor, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's why I thought.
He's really good when he acts and stuff. I liked him a lot as the dad in Knocked Up. Not the dad of the baby, but the dad of the yes. man who has a baby.
Right.
Yes. Well, I totally screwed that up. That's the first time that's happened in the history of
I guess
podcast,
I get 10 points
is
then.
That I had a movie that's totally not in the right category. Because the other movies in actors direct, because I'm going to throw out the category now.
Yeah, because
the other movies
tainted.
Are Ordinary People, which is Robert Redford directed, and Spaced Cowboys, which Clint Eastwood directed.
In 1989?
I don't know how James Cameron, The Abyss, got in there.
Ordinary People is from 1989?
No, that's from 1980.
Oh, that's what
I thought. Remember when you picked from the different years or when mm-hmm, she did? Mm-hmm, she did, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so we got to start from scratch. We're gonna start over.
Oh, my gosh.
That was,
should we...
Do you want to back it up?
No. You know what we're going to do, though? Let's play another round right now, but then we'll wrap up my show, and we'll finish the game on your show so people have to listen to...
That's funny.
...comedy and everything else to hear the conclusion of...
Okay. Sounds good.
This game. Okay.
We're on board.
What did that post-it say? He gave me a signal and I looked right at it and I'm like, I have no idea what that means.
He must have given you like how much time your show's been.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Thank
55
you.
Minutes or something.
Yeah, no, it's been too long, so we're going to wrap it up, but let me do one more.
Okay, give Jimmy this one.
Let me wet people's whistle. All right.
Didn't know what you were winning.
We'll start with Jimmy this time. Hopefully it'll work right. Would you like a movie, the Glengarry Glenn Ross category?
Yes.
Wow.
I left that one for you.
Moving it along. Okay, see, that's why the fuck up happened.
Oh.
The Abyss was supposed to be in this category because Ed Harris was in
Glengarry Glenn Ross?
And he was also in The Abyss. So that's what that was about. So we had to take that one out of contention. So. Could you get to pick between 1995 or 2006 for actor from Glengarry Glenn Ross goes on to be in a movie in 95 or 2006? Which year would you like, Jimmy?
2006.
Okay. Leonard Maltin gives this movie 3 stars. I don't know if I agree, and I don't know if I like the use of hand signals while we're playing this game. We're sitting at a round table and there's someone behind me, so cheating might be going on. This is from 2006. I already told you that.
Here's, three stars.
Three stars. Let's see. A dead person acts in it because of through movie magic. They make a dead person alive.
Oh.
And wow, everything else gives it away.
Really?
Oh, there's a newcomer in the film who is appealing.
Come on, Doug. Give me a real clue.
Those are the real clues. Newcomer that's appealing and a dead guy.
And a dead guy appears in the film?
Yeah.
Is it that J.T. Walsh?
No. Did he appear in a lot of films after he died?
One.
Really? Or you mean he had filmed it before he died?
Yeah. And then died and then it came out.
I'm talking about they repurposed some footage of this dead person and put it in this movie like it was new.
That's what he
means,
Jimmy.
That's a big clue if you recognize that had happened to a famous actor a few years ago, back in 2006, to be specific.
Yeah.
And there are 15 names. You start the bidding, Jimmy Dore.
I can name
comedy 15. And everything else.
I'll start with 15.
Okay, he says 15 names. Stephanie Zamorano.
I say... name that movie.
Okay.
With all 15 names?
Yeah.
I don't think he can do it.
That is the
I'm
worst,
telling you right now.
That is the worst strategy. Only the great Matt Myra tried that strategy, and it blew up in his face.
I don't think he's going to get it.
With all 15 names?
Yeah, uh-huh, with Matt, all 15 names.
You and Matt Myra are a lot alike, Steph. A lot alike.
Wow.
If I had a nickel for every time.
All you had to do was say, I can get it in 15 names. You'd have to bid
lower. I'm playing smart. Let's go. Give me the names.
I mean 14. You should have said
2006. 14.
He was going to make me do it.
Okay.
2006.
And then he was going to make fun of me for not getting it in 14.
She knows that I don't know the movie in the first place. So why let me throw it back on her is what she's doing.
I'm not
right,
going
to... But still, 14, 13 names. It's pretty
I was gonna
pretty
make
gettable.
Her. I was going to make her do it.
Okay. All right. Noel Neal. Jack Larson.
Got it.
Peta Wilson. James Caron.
Don't know any of those actors so far.
Sam Huntington.
Still in the blur.
Here's a clue. Cal Penn. He's one of.
Is that Chris Penn's brother?
No. He's he's Harold or Kumar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I won't tell you which one though. Parker Posey. You know her.
And Parker Posey.
Eva Marie Saint. Great older lady actress. Frank Langella, the great, also great actor. James Marsden. Kevin Spacey. Kate Bosworth. And Brandon Routh. Routh. I think it's pronounced Routh. Routh! And you really don't know what it is.
Everyone
listening to this podcast right now knows exactly what it is.
Wait, do you?
No.
Oh, thank you.
From
I
all
don't
those
either.
Names, you guys don't know what he knows.
Beardo doesn't know either.
Yeah, so all those listeners and the three of us, we showed them.
All right, so the
wait a minute. What was the wait a minute?
Can I phone a friend? Can I phone a friend?
No, because he knows it. I know he knows it. It's so ridiculous. It's so funny right now that you have no idea.
I don't either.
You didn't. You gave me all the names: Parker Posey,
everybody that was.
What was
in
the 13th name? Just tell me the 13th.
Come
name.
On, just because
that
me
would
name.
Be the one that I should be able.
Peta
to...
Peta Wilson.
Or... Oh,
she has a cameo in it.
Tell
I guess.
Me the name of the goddamn movie.
It's called Superman Returns.
No, I didn't see Superman Returns.
Well, it's not always about necessarily having
you know
seen
what?
It.
I
it's
actually see a thread a here. We didn't see Superman.
Oh, waiting for Superman.
And we
and
didn't
you
see
Superman.
Superman
Returns.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was
slack.
That was diabolical. But Stephanie gets the point. So she's on the leaderboard.
Ding.
With see, one point.
She played it smart.
Going into your show. So I'll just wrap it up by saying... this has been Doug Benson over at the household of Jimmy Dore and Stephanie Zamorano, hanging out also with engineer Paul Bartunek. We know a Joe Bartnick.
Yes, different guy.
Bartunek. Oh,
yes.
Oh, different guys. Oh, interesting.
But Joe Bartnick lives close by.
Do you have anything you want to plug? Any dates coming up or anything?
Yes. You sure do.
Yes, I sure do. They could come. I'll be in Ventura at that Ventura Comedy Club the 29th and 30th
of October.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's a Friday and Saturday.
It'll be a fun weekend. Like, if you want to get away from all the trick-or-treat nonsense, come here.
Me, come here.
That's where I'll be.
Because lay down the truth about some shit, you know?
Yeah, in a fish restaurant.
That's, I think so. Yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah, I love it out there.
You go out there, don't you?
It's a good vibe out there, yeah.
I haven't been. This is my first time out there since they changed owners.
I've played out there a million times over the years, and I always like going out there. The people of Ventura are very nice.
Flash your medical marijuana card. Get
in
that.
I wonder
price.
If there's any podcast listeners in Ventura, California. I'd like to hear from them if there are. So, yeah, go see Jimmy Dore there and listen to Comedy and Everything Else, especially the episode that I'm about to be on, because then they're going to finish out this exciting game of Leonard Maltin. And as always... Jimmy Dore is a shithead, and Stephanie Zamorano is a shithead.
Thank you.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves...